this week. I'll be playing tracks submitted by folk artists from all over the country and Canada.
Goodbyes are never good.
That's on this week's Folk Plus, Sunday at 2 on Radio Catskill.
Hey, it's Ira Flatow from Science Friday. Public media organizations just lost federal funding, and it is a big deal. This cut will have serious long-term consequences for the service we provide to you unless we replace that funding with support from more listeners. The future of public media is in your hands, so please go to the station's website to start or increase your monthly sustaining donation today. And thanks.
Give now at WJFFradio.org.
It's 10:30 on Radio Catskill. This is Greg. My friends are always up for a conversation about the things we should be talking about together, to cut through the noise, to get to the truth, to inspire and make our little world a bigger place. Today, we're traveling all the way from Tustin, New York to Honesdale to talk about community programming, the special pressures of a rural community, and how to make things better for all of us. It's time for Travels with Triggs.
Travels with Triggs. Now what's he gonna talk about? Where are we gonna go? Travels with Triggs.
Our guests today are Greta Knudsen from Tustin Social and Amanda Masters and Ali Spaciano from the Cooperage. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
So let's talk about the special needs of rural communities.
So speaking about the programming that the Cooperage Project has seen in the 13 years of our existence here in Northeast Pennsylvania and beyond, it's been interesting to work with different government programs, with community partners who rely on funding. I'm thinking, for example, of some youth programming that we provide to a federally funded after-school program administered by a different nonprofit. That funding stream was reworked recently with new qualifications, and their program, which had been running for a number of years, suddenly no longer qualified because the requirements were unable to be met by a rural community, whereas it would be easy to be met by an urban community that has more students, certain demographics that we don't see here in rural Northeast Pennsylvania. We have the same needs in terms of socioeconomic barriers to education and enrichment and food even. However, we don't have necessarily the same racial or ethnic diversity. We don't have the same population density that would allow our community to meet some of these requirements. And so that's just one example. But throughout all of the regions, seniors, housing, food, agriculture, youth, we see these opportunities that were disqualified from because they're being designed by people with a real urban setting in mind.
Well, and I think you make an excellent point, Amanda, because you are serving a bigger area with less people. So even transportation becomes an issue. Is that a fair point?
Absolutely. Transportation is a real challenge. We literally don't have roads to easily get people from here to there in some cases. We don't have a lot of public transportation. Our county transportation does a really great job of trying to accommodate people's needs, but we don't have regular, you know, routes. It takes a little longer. For some people, it will cost more than if you were in a place with regularly running bus or, you know, even cab services.
That's the booming metropolis of Honesdale. I would imagine in an even smaller community such as Tustin, which is served by Tustin Social, the problems even become a little more macro. Is that a fair point, Greta?
There are many great organizations doing lots of things within the community, but there's often not a great deal of collaboration there's opportunity to collaborate more amongst the organizations so that we can cover more with less. And I think that's something that that's one of the reasons we approached and have been approached by the Cooperage, is that we can, as two separate organizations, sort of across the waterway, the Delaware, we can better serve our constituents, better serve the populations, our respective populations, by cooperating amongst one another. So collaborating around scheduling, we have a senior program that we're starting to work with.
Now, Allie, anything to add about the factors that we've been talking about?
So I am the community programs coordinator here at the Cooperage Project. So I oversee quite a lot of our programming. Anything that's not youth related, I'd like to say, but we have the farmers market, the winter farmers market indoors. That's the Main Street Farmers Market. We also have the mobile market, and we have our senior programming, which is gearing up now,
as well as
arts and culture. So we do concerts, we'll do bingos, we'll do quite anything, any programming that the community needs. We try to introduce some new things in the Cooperage and offer any community event.
So tell me a little bit about how the Cooperage funds its programming in this changing landscape.
So the Cooperage Project operates our programming of all sorts. It are largely funded through grants. So we spend quite a lot of time seeking grants from a handful of private foundations, as well as community foundations. We get support for some of our youth programming through the EITC program from area businesses.
Now, can you just define what EITC stands for?
Yes. It's the Educational Improvement Tax Credit Program. This is a Pennsylvania program. I'm not sure if it exists elsewhere, that allows businesses to divert a certain portion of their income tax each year into qualifying educational programs. And so we have three programs that are approved to receive funding from, in our case, many of the local banks, some of the grocery stores, and a couple other private businesses. So we puzzle piece our funding together. And then our other large stream is from public support. So we have annual business sponsors. We have individual donors who will participate in drives throughout the year. What we don't really rely on is income from our programming. Even in the case where we might charge a ticket price for a concert, for example, that entirely goes to our performers. And so our general operating costs are really coming out of that general support.
And again, it does seem like, with all of the wonderful diversity and the funding that you just talked about, that it is community-based. So again, smaller community supporting itself and its own initiatives, which is impressive.
That's right. And really, with a good amount of grant writing under my belt, when we can collaborate with other organizations like Tustin Social, other nonprofits, as well as with county agencies, with school districts, with libraries, when we can create these consortiums of collaboration, that is not only effective for us in our programming and what we're able to deliver, but also it's really appealing to funders who see a more sustainable and robust approach to these problems that we're all trying to solve, because early childhood education, transportation, care for aging adults, all of the different issues that come with being underhoused, these are not issues that any one org can solve. And so doing collaboration and having a spirit of cooperation, even when it comes to funding rather than competition, can really kind of lift the waterline for everybody. And one thing that Tustin Social and Cooperage Project are trying to do with this collaborative model with our senior programming is prove the concept to other organizations that we can sustain and grow in this collaborative model rather than competing with one another for the same grants, the same funders, because in a small community, everybody's kind of approaching the same funders over and over. So there is a little bit of inherent competition, but we can circumnavigate that through collaboration.
And also in so doing, we found that then you're better serving the end user. So
yes,
and it makes a huge difference and makes their experience better and easier.
The Cooperage Project and Tustin Social are about, well, they've already collaborated, but you're about to take it to a whole new level. Isn't that true?
That is absolutely true. We're very excited. In fact, just last week was our first inaugural moment of really working with the public as a team. Tustin Social has been hosting biweekly, every other week, events for seniors in the community called Sage Sessions.
I'm thrilled to hear that. I'm a little too young for that, but...
anyone 60 plus is invited and welcome. And then meanwhile, the Cooperage Project has been sort of moving toward a similar model. Just a slight background, during COVID, we were approached by some funders to become a sort of food hub during those quarantine years. And we developed a senior meal distribution where each month we prepared a full meal, volunteers helped package and then distribute to 250 seniors in their homes every single month for a number of years. Then in 2023, we decided to sort of rein it in back to our mission, which is to gather and bring people together to build community. And we reworked that model to be a quarterly in-person luncheon, and then saw what Tustin Social was doing and sort of got inspired. And through some feedback from our constituents, from seniors attending our programming, we decided to bring it to even more frequent programming, a little less elaborate with the whole sit-down meal, but just to come to our space every other week, hear from a presenter, have a different interesting activity, some social time. And then with working with Tustin Social, decided to plug in on the alternate weeks from them. So the big model now, which started last week, is that the Cooperage Project Senior Gatherings and the Tustin Social Sage Sessions will be occurring every Thursday, 1:30 to 3:30 in our respective locations. Greta can talk more about that on alternating weeks. So every single week, there'll be an opportunity for residents in both of our communities who are 60 plus to come to a free program, be in community, learn, you know, hopefully laugh, talk, chat, eat something good, and we'll just try to keep this going for as long as we possibly can.
Now, I have a silly question, because I always worry about that first and third, second and fourth of the month weekly thing. What happens in this new cooperation when there are five Thursdays in a month?
We go dark. We confuse everyone and we just go to, we pretend it doesn't happen.
You build anticipation. Delayed gratification.
That is exactly.
That's the week when the attendees get to freestyle on their own and get together, you know, of their own initiative.
Maybe broker some senior relationships.
There you go.
Greta, let's talk quickly about the SAGE sessions. It's been a very successful program. I assume at this point, how many engagements do you think you've had in the time the program's been running?
Greg knows me and he knows that I'm not very good at math on the fly. We have on average between 30 and 50 SAGEs attending each event.
How many sessions have there been roughly, Greta?
72 times 50. Hang on, see, I was doing this on the fly.
72 times 50, over 4,000 engagements. That's incredible. We're going to be talking about all these things, hearing a little bit more about SAGE sessions and the new collaboration in just a minute as Travels with Triggs continues.
Travels with Triggs.
Next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour, why does the U.S. government have Marines in Los Angeles?
I believe they experimented with us, and they were putting every other city in America on notice. Mess with us, we'll come for you.
The mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour. Listen Sunday at 6 for the New Yorker Radio Hour on Radio Catskill.
For the next Jazz Night in America, we're in Rhode Island for an unforgettable lineup of music from the Newport Jazz Festival through the years, handpicked and hosted by me, Christian McBride. Tune in to check out rare sets from Clifford Brown with Max Roach, Dave Brubeck, and Horace Silver. That's next time on Jazz Night in America. Join me for Jazz Night in America, Sunday at 8, here on Radio Catskill.
Travels with Triggs. Today we're talking about community programming with Greta Knudsen from Tustin Social, as well as the Cooperage Project's Amanda Masters and Ali Spaciano. Greta, what are some of the ways that Tustin Social has approached programming that will be inspiring this even more robust program?
At the SAGE sessions, it is what we found has worked really well is uplifting, or local interest programs. So we often will have the National Park Service. They have these wonderful rangers who are super knowledgeable about flora, fauna, you know, wildlife, the ecology in our region. And that has been really wonderful. The rangers will come and talk. We had a, you know, talk, for example, about our local eagles here in Delaware, and that was enormously successful. We've had, and we like to feature people who live in the area, who have interesting stories to tell or interesting experiences. One of hugely successful, Larry Knack, who comes as a beekeeper. He's been keeping bees since the 60s, and he has a wonderful presentation. So we just really try to source programming from the community, and that is very specifically a sort of local community interest.
What kind of programming are we going to see on the Cooperage side of things?
I'm trying to take the programming on a path forward that is enriching to all the individuals that do come.
What are some of the issues faced by rural seniors that this programming helps balance or provide solutions for?
One of the most pressing is isolation. And that was part of why Tustin's Social, one of our core and first programs, was Sage Sessions, because we were responding to a state of need in the community, particularly coming out of COVID, for regular, consistent, accessible, both obviously physically, but also financially accessible programming and social opportunities for seniors. In an urban environment, it's easy to take for granted. People live in proximity. It's maybe easier to find a group. Or when we live up in these rural, more sparsely populated environments, you know, it's easy to become isolated, particularly if you have transportation issues or whatever, you live alone. So the imperative for us as we started Sage Sessions was to provide that consistent opportunity for socialization or just social opportunity.
Amanda, anything you'd like to add?
Another element, I think, which we're holding in mind and Greta spoke to in terms of like sourcing from the community, you know, sourcing programming within the community, is also creating opportunities where the participants themselves might be involved in the planning, in the programming, you know, whether that's recruiting and booking presenters, whether that's they themselves are presenting and sharing, you know, something from their life experience or their expertise, as well as coming and volunteering to implement the program on a, you know, biweekly basis. It's a way that folks who might be retired or unable to, you know, work a consistent job can tap in and really share what they have to offer and not just receive a program, but be involved with purposefully and meaningfully creating the program and offering it to the community. So it's a way to connect in that way as well, which is another sense that, you know, that's the crushing part of isolation, I think, is that sense that you're no longer meaningful, you're no longer integrated. And so this is also hoping to fill that need, or in some small way, sort of like create a pathway through which people could reconnect or be connected. And then maybe it grows from there.
I suppose that's one of the opportunities for local programming, in that it can be specific to those communities, especially as we become more and more about screens. To actually have things that can morph to the needs of a local community is a real opportunity.
Yes, that's an advantage that small rural organizations like ours have. We have a whole set of challenges being small and rural, but we also have the advantage of being able to be really, really flexible and responsive. It's easier for us to steer the ship and change direction than some larger, you know, more red tape, higher funded orgs might have a tougher time, you know, experimenting and saying, well, that didn't work so great, let's do this instead. Or a new need arises or becomes more prominent, we can actually say, hey, let's head this direction.
What do you think the opportunities are within everything we've been talking about for multi-generational programming that bring people of different ages together?
I think in general, people could just use the influence of the elder and the younger community as well. I will plug our birthday bash. it is an all-age event, but I mean, this is celebrating the Cooperage 13 years of existence and what we've accomplished. So
you're a teenager.
We're a teenager.
That's the name of the party.
Yeah. So that is Friday, August 29th, here at the Cooperage from 6 to 9. And that is just one celebration. And I think it kind of encompasses all the program that we do here. What's great about our site is that we do have the Stoneworks building, which is behind the Cooperage, but it's filled with all of the youth programming. And there's just wonderful things to see. You can tell that like children have been in there. It's the art that they've created. It's the stories that we take home. But we definitely plan on having more programming that includes all ages as well moving forward.
One of the sort of guiding lights for the senior gatherings at the Cooperage Project is actually our after-school program for middle school students, which is called Pop-Up Club. This is an after-school program in three different school districts here in Pennsylvania that we run throughout the school year. And every time the kids come, it's a different theme. That's why we call it Pop-Up Club. Sort of it's something pops up, they try it out. Next time they come, it's going to be something different. Today it's cooking. Tomorrow it's a field trip to a bank. The next day it's, you know, building architecture with toothpicks and marshmallows. And so we're kind of holding that model of just like trying a lot of things, getting exposure, you know, doing something that might be out of your wheelhouse and perhaps discovering that you love it or that you hate it, whatever, with our programming for the senior gatherings. There's not a huge difference between the two age groups, aside from age, really. And we are thinking of, you know, asking the question, how can we get those two programs together? Because it wouldn't be incredible, you know, cross-generational interviews or artworks. You know, we've got a huge list of brainstorming. I think the biggest challenge with bringing senior gatherings and pop-up club is just going to be the timing, but we're going to figure it out.
It's interesting right now. I think we live in a time where it's kind of become okay to point at other age groups and generalize about them. Boomers do this, millennials do this, X versus Z, that type of thing. And it really still ultimately is a form of discrimination in that you're assigning labels to a group that you're defining as a lump. So I'm glad to hear that we're exfoliating that dynamic a little bit.
I love that term. And I think our orgs have an opportunity and maybe an obligation to try and facilitate that, because if you are a student, you're really, you know, you're stuck with not only other kids, but kids your exact age most of your life when you're in school. You're not even having an opportunity to hang out with people of different ages, much less much older, outside of the family maybe. And I'm just guessing that for some seniors, they have a similar experience depending on their residential conditions, whether they have family and friends, you know, local to wherever they live. You know, maybe they too are not having as many opportunities to really interact and socialize with kids in particular. And so how can we sort of, you know, toss everybody together and break the ice and give them a marshmallow architecture challenge?
Well, and it's wonderful, isn't it, that both communities have these beacons for programming, the Cooperage on Main Street in Honesdale and Tustin Social's new space in the Shops of Narrowsburg on Main Street in Narrowsburg. And everything we've been talking about this morning, if you don't have good nutrition or you're food insecure, you don't have a foundation from which to grow. And I know that both organizations have been doing some really exciting work around fresh produce, farmers markets, giving some kind of break on the prices.
So our mobile market is going to be present at the SAID sessions as well as the senior gatherings here at the Cooperage. The mobile market will be present from 3 to 5. That's every second and fourth Thursday. So July 31st will be our first SAID session here. And then immediately following will be outside in our pocket park, which is just in front of our building on Main Street. That is open to the public again from 3 to 5. The cool thing about the mobile market is that we will be using our NearCash. And NearCash is just a nutrition education awareness rewards program that the Cooperage came up with. So they're kind of like a bonus book. If you come to our certain events, which are microgreens, romping radishes, our senior events or other events hosted by ourselves or partner programs, you can receive the NearCash. And we also accept SNAP, credit, and cash. If you do use your SNAP benefits, if you spend at least $10, you'll get an additional $10 worth of NearCash. These are eligible to be spent at our mobile market here, as well as farmers markets in the area, including Wayne County, the Hawley's Farmers Market as well.
So both organizations seem to be doing a great job of dealing with potentially food insecurity issues or just making sure that people have a meal to look forward to that they don't have to make themselves.
That's right. And we also hope that it's of benefit to the producers who are supplying produce and cheese and applesauce and quiche and eggs to the mobile market. All these regional producers have yet another outlet for selling their wares to potentially other consumers.
And I think on the New York side, we should talk about the fact that Tust and Social has I assume both organizations have a strong relationship with Growing Older Together. And on the New York side, Sullivan County Office for the Aging.
Correct. And we've got, and in fact, actually with the near cash equivalent at our next SAGE session on August 7th, we have the Sullivan Office for Aging coming down to talk about their farmers market voucher program. So that will be helpful as well.
Well, we've talked a lot about youth. We've talked a lot about SAGE seniors, but there are those that are in between who might want to learn more about how they can support this wonderful programming through a donation or volunteering. What is the best way to reach out to the Cooperage?
So you can reach out to me directly on my email, ally@thecooperageproject.org, and you can check out our website any day at thecooperageproject.org.
And Greta for Tust and Social?
For Tust and Social, you can reach out to us directly at hello@tustandsocial.org and follow us on social media. That's probably one of the best ways to engage and know what we're doing. So that's @tustan_social on Instagram and Tustin Social on Facebook.
And who doesn't love a happy hour? On August 5th, which is a Tuesday, there's going to be a Tustin Social happy hour where two community leaders engage in conversation. I don't want to compare it to the 92nd Street Y, but I have heard other people talk about that. The next one is going to be with Busy Coy and Bill Fellenberg, and that is on Tuesday, August 5th at the Tustin Cup. What time does that start, Greta?
That starts at 5:30.
Wonderful. Well, Greta, Ally, Amanda, thank you so much for this conversation and all that Tustin Social and the Cooperage Project are doing for our communities. Seniors, remember, programming is going to be happening every Thursday on a rotating basis. The first four Thursdays of the month. You can learn all about it on the websites that we talked about. And of course, thank you for tuning in to Travels with Triggs.
Travels with Travels with Travels with Triggs. Who's he gonna talk to now? What's he gonna talk about? Where we gonna go? Travels with Triggs.
Support comes from the Wayne County Farmers Market, selling local produce, baked goods, and so much more. Saturdays 9:30 to 12:30 in front of Dave's Super Duper Supermarket, 200 Willow Avenue, Honesdale. More information on Facebook and PoconoMountains.com/Honesdale/events. And from The Cooperage Project, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org.
Last week on Wait Wait, Adam Burke thought a new dating app made sense.
It makes sense that there would be a theme park-based dating app because a lot of the women I've met on dating apps have been like, you must be at least this tall.
I'm Peter Sagal. There are no height requirements to listen to this week's news quiz with the pop jazz musician Leve as our special guest. Join us for an all-access news quiz from NPR.
Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
I'm Brooke Gladstone from On the Media, and as you can deduce from the name of the show, we track the evolving media, the right and the wrong of it, across myriad platforms. But the truth is, the best thing about it, and I'm talking here about the fact-based media, the independent media, is that it's here at all. Over the three decades I've been watching, there have been countless bombardments and forays and brawls, but I've never seen it attacked with such focus and ferocity as now, especially our own little corner of it, public media, your media, we hope. You know, you could stand up for public media right here at home. Start a monthly gift or add to your existing one. Here's how you do it.
Give now at WJFFradio.org. Protect public media and stand with Radio Catskill. WJFFradio.org. Thank you so much.
This is Ari Shapiro with NPR. If you've been thinking about helping this station with a contribution, but now is not the right time for a financial gift, you can donate a vehicle you don't need. Pickup is free, and it could be worth hundreds of dollars in support. Think about it, and thanks.
Go to WJFFradio.org. WJFF.